Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday, Frigid Wednesday. Thank you so much for tuning in to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you, and this is Art Speak Radio every Wednesday, noon to 1. So thanks so very much for tuning in today and making us a part of your day, whether you're listening online or through your app or who knows where you're listening. I'm just glad you're listening, so thank you for that. Today we have a full program, as we do every Wednesday. And we're going to start off with an interview with our beautiful friend, Bernadette Torres, who is an educator and ceramicist. She's just an incredible individual, lots of energy, very, very talented. And she currently has billboards featured in the Crossroads, the UMB billboards. Yes, she has that. Also on tap today, we have Ruben Castillo and Sarah and Colin Walsh. They're in here, and we're going to talk about what's going on with them. And then we're going to have just sort of a centralized conversation about art. And we're expecting Key and Byrne, but, you know, life happens. This is live radio. We'll see, you know. It just happens that way. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and get started with a interview with Bernadette Torres.
There we go. All right. I'm here with Bernadette Torres. Hello, my friend. I'm glad to be with you today.
Thank you.
And what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about our upcoming exhibit at the Metropolitan Community College at the Carter Art Center Gallery this first Friday on February 1st. Our show that we will be having first Friday, Cola Veche, it is following the solo voice. It is an exhibit of six local artists that will be featuring painting, photography, performance, sculpture, and the spoken word.
Sounds great, Bernadette. But, you know, I want to ask you, how did this come together? What was the inspiration behind this show?
The inspiration behind the show is that I wanted to bring a group of women, very strong women that are diversified in different ages and different ethnicities and fluid gender to the community that's showcasing their painting and photography. I wanted to inspire our student body at the Metropolitan Community College and also our community in general to showcase these artists and their different diversities coming together in one location from February 1st through March 1st.
That's terrific. You know, this is something sort of that came about, you know, during a discussion that we had with the women. And you had mentioned earlier that very rarely do women come together in one place and sort of share and show their work together, right?
Yes, it's very rare. We're always so busy in our different lives. We're always either the job that we do, but our passion, but we still follow our passion, even though, you know, some of us do the 9-to-5 job, that we still go home and paint, or like Annie Cherry goes out at midnight and does a performance, and Natasha Riascheri does her spoken word. So even with our busy lives, we still have time to do artwork, make artwork, be it fashion, painting, or a performance, and this is a great place that is all going to come together, and with our opening on first Friday, February 1st, and our second opening, March 1st, that you'll see this all concentrated in one area. It's going to be exciting.
And in between, are there some scheduled two-pairs sort of performances? Like, I know Natasha had talked about doing some spoken word performances, and possibly Annie Cherry, is that?
Yes. We are going to be having many other events throughout the month, and please follow us on our Twitter, which is Carter Gallery, at Carter Gallery, and we'll be posting those events on our Twitter and our Carter Art Center Gallery website at MCC Kansas City, mcckc.edu/pvart, has a link to each of the artists and also their websites, and they'll be posting, so you can do a link from our website also. But mostly it will be on Twitter, because it will be pop art, pop openings, so the Twitter would be the best way. And please follow us, and you'll be up to date on the pop-up events that we will be having.
To the Carter Art Center, that's keeping with the mission statement, right?
Yes, the Carter Art Center Gallery mission statement is to inspire our student body and to inspire the artist community in general, bringing it to the students. Some of our students have never set foot into a gallery, so this will be a wonderful way to present them to what's happening, artists in our community, and sharing that wonderful experience of the love of arts to our student body and the Kansas City art lovers in general.
Yeah, it's really a beautiful gallery, and I know this just kind of starts off the 2019 year, right?
Yes.
So everything, you have everything ready to go for the
Yes, we have this show opening on February 1st, on First Friday, through March 1st, and then we also have our student art exhibit and sale, which is an annual show that we have every year in April, that will be a wonderful exhibit, and the students get to showcase their artwork. There's judges coming in to judge the artwork, to give out scholarships, and it's one of our biggest events every April for our student body to showcase and to come see our artwork. And we end the semester with the graphic design exhibit portfolio. So our graduating students from the graphic design department showcase their portfolios to the outside community and have outside judges judging their artwork that will bring about jobs and also internships for our students.
That you are yourself a very hardworking artist and educator at Pin Valley Community College. How do you do it? Because, you know, juggling marriage and family and, you know, classes and everything, and still make time to create work. How do you do that?
I try to lead by example. I do, as the gallery director and also a full-time art instructor, I teach 3 art classes a semester, drawing classes, ceramics, and sculpture. I do my classes, and when I'm done, I still make artwork. So I try to lead by example, showing my students that even though everything you do, you're still making artwork. I'm in a couple of a show coming up this summer at Garcia Square, and I'm working towards the opening on that. And being in this group show is very exciting and amazing. And so that is a really neat thing. And just recently, the Charlotte Street Foundation, I've got the billboard on Charlotte on
The UMB.
The art board.
Yeah, congratulations.
Well, thank you. And that's up through February. So the main thing is for me to teach art, I have to make art. Sometimes it's hard at the end of the day to get into studio, but I do it. And sometimes I make artwork at school, and I inspire the students. If I'm coming in, you're coming in. And we all make artwork together.
And do they inspire you in turn?
Yes. Yeah. As many times as I'm teaching my students, I'm also learning from them all the time. Sometimes they ask me, will this glaze and this glaze go together? And I can tell them in theory, but I was like, let's try it out. And if it works, let's do something with it. So, yes, I'm always learning and encouraging them to learn and try new things, because a lot of times it's that trial and error. A lot of times it's that unexpected that is the most amazing thing. And it's so nice, you know, I can give them all my knowledge. I tell my students, I'm going to tell you everything I know, and then let's see what you do with it.
I love that. I love that. Well, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity not only to be in this group show. I feel really, really honored. Thank you so much, Bernadette Torres. But also, you know, thank you for teaching generations of new artists, you know, the craft and mentoring them and really inspiring.
Thank you so much. And I can't wait to see your paintings. Oh, and so I'm very excited. We're going to be installing, so I can't wait to see this all come together. We've been thinking about it and doing it, and we're all making artwork and putting it together, so we can't wait to see you February 1st.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
And I want to say I apologize for the little bit of technical difficulty that we had. I think it's just a case of wiggling the wires and making sure that everything's working properly. Well, that was Bernadette Torres, and, you know, we're going to look forward to seeing her work along with the other women in the show, Cole Voce, and that's going to be at the Carter Arts Center at the Penn Valley Community College. And I'm very fortunate to be a part of the show, so I'm grateful for the opportunity. You know, we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio, and we're going to hear a little bit of tune as we kind of transition into a live discussion. Stay tuned. Who doesn't love Ima Sumac? You know, that was just perfect for a day like today, and we're just perfectly happy that you've tuned in to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd. You know, we have a full set of artists here today, and musicians, music makers, and designers. We have Ruben Castillo, Sarah Walsh, Colin Walsh, Kian Byrne. They're all here, minus their children, because, you know, school is out. You know, it's all good. So we're happy to have everyone here. And I want to introduce Ruben Castillo. He's a printmaker, and as he states in his artist statement, because I have it right here in front of me, his work studies My work studies one's relationship to intimacy and desire, seeing how it manifests within the everyday. Ordinary domestic scenes and actions become meditations on love and living based on the contradictions, uncertainties, and effects drawn from my autobiography and proximity to queerness. He also works in drawing, media, video, and sculpture. So welcome, Ruben.
Hi.
See, I told you I was going to get you on the show.
Here I am.
We love that you're here. And, you know, you currently are a lecturer and shop technician, again, at the Kansas City Art Institute.
Correct.
But you've done so many things in your young life. You've had solo MFA shows at Haw Contemporary, Kansas City, Missouri, and the Kansas City Artists Coalition. So, wow, congratulations to you for that.
Thank you. Hard work.
Yeah.
Lots of hard work.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to talk about your work because you talk about, you know, the intimacy and desire of everyday sort of things. Tell our audience about your work, what they see when they look at your work.
I have kind of a really, like, classical drawing background, just from like high school and even like an undergrad, my own personal interests. I like dabbled briefly into like abstraction, and I loved like the visual strategies that like minimalists and abstract artists used. But I like around junior year, my third year, I took like a hard turn back to like the figure. And so I was really interested in just kind of like specific iconographic images. Mm-hmm. And so once I got to grad school, my challenge to myself was like, okay, I use the figure a lot to kind of tell those like stories of intimacy and queerness, mm-hmm. and sexuality and whatnot. But I kind of told myself once I got to grad school, let's get rid of the figure. Let's do something completely, mm-hmm. different. And so I started using objects that interact with the body in some way. So things like a love seat or the closet or like a nightstand, and kind of the more like latest obsession over the last couple years has been pillows. Mm-hmm. They're this thing that's shaped by us. They're kind, yeah. of like after images of the body. It's also like the one time, like for a couple that shares the bed, that's the one space that they really come together in close proximity to one another and together shape these forms. And so that I take a lot of photographs, and so I photograph like my pillows kind of every morning after my partner and I wake, mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. So those little like documents and influence my work a lot, and I make work about them. So you'll see lots of pillows, you'll see beds, you'll see closets, and just anything that has really sort of interaction with the couple.
It's sort of, you know, I think of a recording, the aftermath of sleep or the aftermath of you know, whatever movement, you know, occurred there. Your line qualities are so delicate and just so precise. Is that something that you want in your work, or is it just really sort of just recording what you see?
Yes, I mean, I'm a little bit of both. My background is I graduated from Kansas City Art Institute printmaking mm-hmm. department, and printmaking has an enormous influence on me. I mean, I just got done teaching some drawing students over mm-hmm. there, but even in like a foundational drawing class, I'm like, print defines so much of what we do at this point. It's a democratic medium. And now we can't escape it. And so for me, the clear line using that is it's like a reading process for mm-hmm. the viewer. I want the viewers to kind of recognize and appreciate those kind of clear forms. But also, like, there's that kind of little moment when you see, like, the most delicate line, and, like, it takes your breath away, and you're like, you know? You're just like, you know, it's just, there's just something about it, something that's very effervescent. And I love it. And so if I love it, I'm going to put it in my mm-hmm. work.
Well, and, you know, and as we're talking, if you would want to mention any sort of website, social media for our listeners that may want to tap into that as we're talking.
Yeah, absolutely. On Instagram, if you want to see more of my work, you can find my handle is Ruben. My name, Ruben, my middle initial B, which stands for Brian. Ruben B. Castillo, C-A-S-T-I-L-L-O. And it's the same for my website, for my Gmail. They're all kind of there.
And I want to mention that you, Ruben, along with Sarah and Colin, were a part of the Hot Hens event that took place on Saturday. So I'm happy that you all were able to get together today and kind of relive that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also wanted to include in the conversation Kian Byrne and, again, Sarah and Colin Walsh. We're going to just briefly talk about their work. We're going to hear some live music from Kian, but I ultimately want the hour to be filled with art conversation about asking each other questions, sort of picking each other's mind. So I want to introduce you to Kian Byrne, who's a musician, singer, songwriter. He's going to perform live today, and he's also a current member of the Elders, Yum, Hilux, and the New Rhythm. So welcome, Kian Byrne.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And I know last time you were here, your son was here with you, and he was just delightful. But, you know, we're glad that you're here. You'll do in place.
Yeah. He helps me a lot, but I'll try my best.
Yeah, you can't compete with Woody Woodpecker.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know you've had a lot going on just in the last, 3 months, 6 months, mm-hmm. a month?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us. Catch us up to speed.
Yeah, the end of last year kind of marked the end of touring for the Elders, which I've been in for about 7 years. My dad's a lead singer, and I've grown up with the band. So touring the last 7 or so years with them has been amazing. Traveling the country, and we have our annual trip to Ireland. Last October we had about 280 people that paid to follow us on tour. So
that
also,
cool.
You know, little Irish venues and Irish music venues,
sure.
It's like it'd be in the back of the pub and you could fit 150 people, and we brought 250 from America.
Wow.
So it was awesome. And then loads of locals. I was born in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's
mm-hmm.
from Ireland as well. So he's got tons of friends all over the island.
Yeah.
But to see a family and play gigs, and it was beautiful.
So when will you be going back there?
I'm actually going back with another band this next October.
Which band?
Moxie Strings.
Okay.
They Diana Latio is the fiddle player in the Elders. She's based out of Nashville, and then Allie is out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I was just in Florida and Moline, Illinois, where it was negative 12 degrees last week.
Oh, boo-hoo.
So they do a thing called Mox Project, which is they teach schools, orchestras, that wouldn't have the opportunity to have outsiders come in and teach them. So I did some percussion stuff, and we played some gigs, and so yeah.
But you're really a multi-instrumentalist because I've seen you play violin and accordion, or am I just making that up?
That might have been a dream.
Just not. percussion, guitar.
Mm-hmm. I played some bass and sing in a reggae band called New Rhythm.
Right. And
mandolin and guitar and fiddle.
You know, and New Rhythm, I'm very excited about that because...
I love that.
They were around, I think they were around years before.
There's old New Rhythm, the Blue Rhythm Band.
Yeah.
And we are an honor... off of them. I've loved that band. Scotty Korchek, who's now passed away,
bless his heart.
I asked him if we could name the band New Rhythm, and then he taught me that there was a New Rhythm.
I didn't know, so
the history of Lawrence and Kansas City reggae.
He kissed me once, and I was sorry to hear that he had passed. Kian, if you would share with us your website and any other sort of social media so that folks can follow along.
It's my name, KianByrneMusic.com, KianByrne, music. Same as Instagram, Facebook, and all of it. So
beautiful. Thank you. I'm going to introduce you to Sarah and Colin Walsh, the husband and wife team designers,
hey.
Artists.
How's it going?
Good.
It's
and
okay,
musicians.
The distance of the mic.
Closer.
Oh, Maria, your radio voice is soothing.
It's very sexy.
Oh, my goodness. It's all the whiskey and the cigarettes I can smoke.
Let's just make this about you, not us.
Yeah. Oh, sounds good to me. So let's talk about your website and the work that you do, because it's really wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tiger Sheep.
Yeah, we are, Colin and I are Tiger Sheep friends, and that's kind of our personal side giggle or hustle, I guess, if you'd say, which is a super overexposed word right now. But anyway, and then I do freelance, but I used to work at Hallmark for like 13 years, but now I just do freelance illustration, and they are one of my clients.
I still work at Hallmark.
How long has it been for you, Colin?
I started back in 01, and then I quit to go travel to Australia, New Zealand, and South America.
Oh, man,
in
I love
2007.
That. You know, it's really hard to walk away from Hallmark. I at one time worked there.
Golden handcuffs.
I know.
I didn't say that.
But, you know, it's really shifted. That whole industry has shifted. I know I still have friends that work there, and it's really kind of like a ghost town. It's not... Not like it was when I was there.
I feel like it's... I guess it depends on what department, because they're doing so many different things now, and they're trying to get more... They're trying to get more smaller. I'm not speaking proper English, but...
More smaller.
I like that.
Yeah.
And agile, I guess. But they're just getting into different types of things, and... So I'll let you...
I've worked on some really fun projects for Hallmark Baby. I did a big dinosaur collection and was featured on the blog and I think Make Share blog. But yeah, just a lot of fun opportunities in the illustration department. You can get semi-weird there, but Tiger Sheep Friends is where we, you know, can be like, oh, well, what if we, turn the whole world, you know, big plants, small dinosaurs, flip everything, and just kind of experiment with kind of getting into our kid brains again,
which is really fun. Well, it's like when you're working as a creative, you know, if you're working for a corporation, like, they're your client. So, or for me, I have, you know, different clients, but... And you enjoy that collaboration, but at the end of the day, you want to make sure they're happy. And when you're doing personal work, you only have to make yourself happy. So we come from a completely different background. Both of us got our BFA in graphic design, not illustration. Mm-hmm. We're both sort of self-taught illustrators and painters. So it's sort of, I think that's informed our work, though. I'm glad now that it worked out that way versus, like, if there was an illustration major at the college that I was going to, my work might be completely different. So, I think Collins would be, too. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, your work is really fun, and it is full of life and surprises. I'm a fan of the work.
Thank you.
And again, if you would share the website with our listeners so that they can maybe take a peek.
Yeah. It's our Instagram. We don't actually have a website, but our Instagram is tigersheep_friends. And then we have an Etsy shop. I think if you just... I always mess that one up. So if you just Google Tiger Sheep Etsy, it should come up.
Yeah. But, you know, and so you are not only prints, but you're somewhat clothing, like T-shirts. I've seen T-shirts,
yeah,
pillows,
yeah.
And I even have this lovely book that you
did
the illustrations. Yeah, Herstory, 50 Women and Girls Who Shook Up the World. And I shared this with my great niece, and she adored it. She wanted to take it home, but
I'd
smack her hand a couple of times. No, but, it's really lovely. You never know sort of what opportunities will present themselves, and you have to be open for it.
Yeah.
So,
I, to be honest with you, just to build on what you just said, I did maybe about 2 or 3 portraits. I've always loved drawing people, but the idea of having to capture someone's likeness and maintain your own style sometimes is tricky.
Yeah.
So I had done a portrait of Frida, like many artists do, and I did one of Martin Luther King, and just people that I admire, and then the publisher saw those 2 portraits that I did. I was by no means like a portrait artist or expert at all, but they really loved the way that I did those 2, and they invited me to do that book. And it was a huge learning curve for me and really challenging, but I'm glad I did it. But I mean, sometimes I guess the moral of the story is just say yes and figure it out later.
Seriously, just say yes. Just do it.
Just do it.
You know, we're going to be back with Sarah and Colin Walsh, Kian Byrne, and Ruben Castillo right after these messages.
Support for KKFI is provided by Squeezebox Theater, a performance and event space at 1519 Oak Street in Kansas City's Crossroads District, designed with producers and performers in mind, presenting music, including local artists and touring singer-songwriter showcases, variety shows, poetry, film, stage plays, improv, and more. Learn more about venue availability, upcoming events, and tickets at facebook.com/Squeezebox Theater.
Ruby Grant, welcoming you to join me every Wednesday, 3 p.m. until 6 p.m., right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, a vintage classic format designed to educate and increase the awareness of accomplishments and contributions made by Afro-Americans. Now, that's every Wednesday, right here on KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
And this is Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. We're all talking here in studio at 90.1 FM KKFI. And we're happy to have you along for the ride because we've got Ruben Castillo, Sarah, and Colin Walsh, and Kian Byrne here. Hello, folks.
Hello.
Hi. Hey.
So, you know, I know we sort of had a really pared back conversation with each of you, because I was really wanting to get into the creative process, really kind of pick your brains and, you know, have you have a discussion and ask each other questions. But I want to start off first by asking about each of you, and whoever wants to answer first, that's fine. Let's talk about your creative process. So, you know, when you go into your creative mode, you know, do you have a goal in mind? Do you have research in hand of what it is you're going to be creating? Or do you just sort of sit down and doodle or tinker or just kind of let it come to you?
I'm not a big like thinker when it comes to my work. Like, I don't just like sit down and like, I'm gonna do this, then this, then this, then this. Like, it's kind of like very reactive and emotional. Usually I have like a thing that I'll see or experience, and I'm like, that was interesting. I want to replicate that in some way. Again, going back to that printmaking background and wanting to like create reproductions of things, and so I'll like try to replicate it in some way, and then think back on that feeling and understand its contours and forms and textures and shapes and whatnot, and try to let that kind of inform the work, and then be very reactive. But I will go back and rely heavily on like research that's been written on the topics. So I mean, someone like Kathleen Stewart, she's a writer at in Austin, and she wrote the small little book called Ordinary Affects, kind of just like describing the ordinary and our emotional responses to it. And so I'll really kind of lean heavily on someone like her, or like Sarah Ahmed, or, you know, philosophers, affect theorists who, you know, have written a lot about the stuff I'm interested in. I'll rely on their writing and their voice to kind of help guide me in articulating some of the more abstract things.
And
I think it depends, like, whether it's personal work or client-based. They have maybe two different processes with similarities, but for personal work, I feel like I want to speak a little bit to people that kind of work day-to-day as a creative and get paid, because I think there's this really tricky thing of managing the work you get paid to do and then the personal work. Yeah. It's a real struggle. Agree. Because I think when you don't have enough time to do that, you're sort of like tapping the well dry, and your personal work feeds your future work. If your work has a really strong point of view and people are going to you for that, you're going to dry out the well. And so for me, it's been tricky managing that, and I've decided it's sort of like having a conversation with yourself, like an internal conversation or mood, where sometimes you feel like you've lost touch with that person, and then other times you're like really going at it, and you're talking all day, and you're getting all these ideas and sparks. So I think the important thing is trying to keep some kind of idea flow energy going in your interior dialogue with yourself, and like just keeping that muscle flexed, and whether it's even writing a thought down if you don't have time, or doing a quick doodle, just something to keep that going, so that when you do have time, you're not sitting there like overthinking, and you can be more reactionary and emotional and just get it out, instead of feeling frozen and editing yourself before you even had a chance to begin. I don't know. That's kind of just what my struggle's been lately, so that's why I'm speaking to that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I, like, all throughout grad school, I got like critiqued as like, oh, you're like over editing yourself, like you're letting yourself like over edit your ideas, you're not just like being pure to it. And so it was like really important for me to try to grapple with that, and just be in this place of like letting my body just kind of guide me, like you said.
Yeah, well, also just being your friend, being your own friend, and being like hey buddy, it's cool, just make a blob on the paper and let it happen.
Yeah. And how does it work for you, Ken?
Where's your creative process? I would totally agree in that I have hundreds of pieces of paper with three words on the top of it, and then I lost it, and then switch, and then 2 years later I'll come and finish writing something, or, you know, with songwriting, sit there and get stuck on a chord, and you can kind of hear where it goes, and you can't get there. I did some stuff on the airplane a few days ago. Like, luckily, you have your cell phone and little memos, and you can write lyrics, and I just kind of kept going, and I was like, well, maybe I should start writing poetry. It's like, this just kind of fills up, which it's the same. I was talking to my friend Diana. It's rhythm in the lyrics. It's painting a picture without painting. It can be whatever you want. So.
Well, and I know that there is a lot of overlap in creativity, you know, songwriting and visual and all that. How do you begin your creative process, Colin?
I used to keep a lot of sketchbooks. I usually sketch things on little pieces of paper, and sometimes you get a nice energy with this real quick movement or something, and then you try to recreate that bigger, and it doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that's a struggle, but practice is key, just trying to do it whenever you can. Mm-hmm. And Sarah and I also talk about kind of putting things in a box, like
thinking in the box.
Yeah, just kind of getting, so you're not just going, oh, I like this and I like that and I like, just kind of getting a few things and really forming it.
Like giving yourself a container, so to speak, so you have some parameter, like almost like you do have limits, because no limits is not necessarily a good thing. Like,
yeah, just reaching into air for.
Yeah, I like that.
So
I tell students that all the time. I'm just like, you've got to. It was like an interview with David Byrne, which it's like music always like super influences my process, and I feel like I've been really inspired by that. But like David Byrne once said something about like. How limits were like super important. Like they had like a standard like back in the 13th century or something to like write like a, you know, a symphony or something. Like they had some certain standards, and so like within that little like within those boundaries basically, like you can like learn to work creatively.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like working creatively within the box. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder like how many amazing things happened when you had all the money you need, all the art supplies, all the instruments you've ever, like it kind of cancels everything out. I think when you're up against something and you have challenges and no budget or no time, you might have like a little temper tantrum because you're freaking out, but then after that something really amazing might happen because you're like really getting into like a state.
I would like to ask David Byrne's long distant cousin Kian Byrne, I'm just making that up, if you would like to perform a song, because you know we're talking about music and how it kind of informs and inspires your work. Do you want to share something with us
do you want to play something, or do you want me to play something?
I want you to play live. Okay. yeah But you know what? What's missing is that your son, last time you were here, your son took one of these rolling chairs, and he was just circling around and rolling in this chair, and that was so much fun to capture on video. Yeah. So just want to get that visual in you.
He's five now.
My gosh. And he also plays violin,
yes,
right?
Actually, he studies Suzuki violin with my teacher when I was little.
Very cool.
So it's like a grand student is how
I love that. I love that. Do you need this mic too as well, or?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Be stingy. We don't mind.
Let's see.
You know, and we love having live performance here, so what are you going to play for
us? It's a new tune. I'm recording another album, solo album. The first one I did was kind of without drums, more percussive, more strings.
Uh-huh.
So this one's got drums and full band, but I'm playing everything on it, so you'll hear it soon. But here's a new tune.
Oh, very good.
Thank you.
wasn't ready for that to be over.
Thank you.
Really, really nice. Thank you so much, Kian. You know, yeah, the beautiful music. So this is going to be released soon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm recording, yeah. Uh-huh. I've got about 17 tracks that I'd like to put together.
Yeah. So. Is that here in town that you're...
Yeah, I'm recording with Steve Phillips over at his studio. So Steve's in the Elders with me.
Oh, good.
Guitar player,
okay.
So.
Yeah. And, yeah, so you'll keep us... informed when that comes out.
Yeah,
I would hope so. If you just joined us, this is Maria Vasquez Boyd, ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM, and I'm here with my beautiful guests, very, very talented folks here today, every day, every Wednesday, Ruben Castillo, Sarah and Colin Walsh, and Kian Byrne that just performed live for us in the studio. You know, as you were performing that song and all, and I was thinking, sort of going over my list, I wrote down a few questions, and I try not to ask questions that are, you know, they just make you groan. But I really am wanting you to consider the important elements, either imagined or expectations that you have of people listening to your work or viewing your drawings and paintings. I mean, do you have expectations of what people will find in your body of work? Ooh, that's deep. Next on ArtSpeak Radio.
I mean, so I'm responding to like really specific things that I interact with in my just kind of daily life. So I hope that I can keep something to as true to it. But any expectation I have is kind of like qualities that I get kind of reflected back to me by other people who experience the work. They're just like, oh, the work seems really, you know, and it seems this way because I want it to be this way, but quiet or soft or sensitive in some kind of way. I mean, that's about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that looks like. That's ambiguous. Yeah. And so I'm just kind of like, if I see it, then I'm like, cool, that's going out. And if I see it and then don't like what I see, then I'm like, nope.
Quiet enough.
Yeah. Not quiet. Too loud.
Yeah.
Turn it down, please.
Yeah. I feel like when we do pop-up events, when we're selling our artwork, the Tiger Sheep Friends artwork, that we get a lot of smiles and laughing and like, man, this is so weird and fun or kind of goofy. And like, I did a piece that has a giant orange is riding a 70s style banana seat bike, and it's kind of an old piece, but. Uh-huh. People, whenever they see it, they just like they point or they smile. You know, it's just like we just want people to have fun and like your song. It's just like it's all about love.
It's a little escape, I think. Yeah. Like that was so beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
For real. What a cool thing to be able to do on a Wednesday afternoon to be here with you guys. Yeah. I mean, I feel like people will walk by our stuff. They'll either walk by and have a confused look on their face. Or they'll, like, beeline, and it's like they've found their tribe. Like, we're speaking the same language, and we feel like we belong to each other.
Yeah.
And like Colin said, like, it genuinely makes people happy. And we don't get to see that online. Like, it's only when we do those events that we get to interact with the people that buy our art for their home or for a loved one as a gift or, you know, it's pretty cool to be able to do that. But, yeah, I think we want people to feel happy, but I just want people to feel something.
Yeah.
Whether it pisses them off, because that's, sorry, makes them angry. Sorry.
Well, and, you know, for me, being a Latina, I'm going to kick you later. Being a Latina, you know, I think the expectation is, well... And I don't know if you can speak to this, Ruben or Kian, but, you know, being a Latina, the expectation is, oh, well, it doesn't look very Mexican or, you know, or very feminine. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. I remember, like, people being like, oh, do you want to join the, like, Latin American club? I'm like, I don't know Spanish. Like, I don't. And, like, my, like, I love my, like, Latinx culture, but, like, and I've, like eagerly always wanting to learn more about it, but I'm also like insecure about it because I'm just like, I'm like, if you don't see me and you don't mm-hmm. like know my name or anything, you might just think I'm white or something. Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I think it's interesting, like, you want to make the art that just feels real to you without thinking about, like, it's so internal, your process seems so internal, not like, I'm this, so I'm going to make artwork that reflects that.
But that is the expectation, you know, you know, just showing up, I just feel that people have, you know, expectations of what my work is about or what my, you know, process is about, you know, being a woman in Latina, so.
You know, I played it was a gig for, at the Midland Theater with Making Movies.
Yeah.
And you know them, some buddies of mine. And I played violin, and the violin itself was handmade by my grandfather on the Mexican side of the family. And he was a fiddle player, he was a violin player. But the gig itself, your daughter, mm-hmm. every danced and I played. I was wearing my family's mariachi suit, which, you know, I'm a little bit bigger than I should have been in that suit. It was tiny. It was like for this. I was asking my mom, I was like, how old was the guy that wore this?
Yeah.
Did he drive to the gig himself? So, but it's like, I loved doing that. And it was kind of magical wearing all that stuff and playing. And the crowd was huge. But I don't wake up and want to be a mariachi musician every day, you know?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
But I just happen to be Irish and Mexican, you know? So you got to take what you love on each part, and it blends easy. You know, it's all Celtic, everything.
And the expectation is that, okay, you've got a violin, you know, you've got the suit. Oh, you're going to play mariachi music. Well, no, I mean, you know, and your last name's Byrne. I mean,
I might just play a gig in the mariachi suit and just play some reggae.
That could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have dreadlocks. People had no idea where I was from. And I was like, well, I'm born in Ireland, and I'm Irish and Mexican. And my dreads just grew, so.
It's really interesting how that works. I mean, you know.
It's people's fun, too.
Yeah.
It's easy.
You get, like, those pure affects from it. I mean, I had, like, an opportunity to, like, produce something that to make an image for a portfolio exchange in Texas based on, like, Latinx, Texan culture, Tejanos. And I was really insecure about joining at first. It was put on by Lee Garcia and Wendy, I don't know if I'm going to say her last name correctly, but Valadares. Mm-hmm. And they're based in Texas. And it's going to be a portfolio for the Southern Graphics Council International, which is a printmaking conference that changes every location every year. But it was an opportunity to join this portfolio, and I was very insecure about it because it was so specific to Tejano culture, and I'm like, I don't know about that. But it was a really fascinating moment to be like, okay, I still want to do this. I'm going to get outside myself, and I'm going to, like, make work about something that I do feel really passionate about, which was the children that kind of came through and were, like, forced into those camps in Texas. And so I actually, when I was kind of looking at the images, I found things that I was, like, quietly drawn to, and I was like, well, I'm drawn to these, so I'm going to, like, make this work. And there were just all these, like, little moments that I could just, like, pick and grab, and I was just, like, this is what they lived, like, that's what they experienced. And so it's like, okay, like, I have a set of processes that I can use. I'm going to make imagery about it. I titled the piece Casa Lleno, to kind of deal with, talk about, like, to be in someone else's home that you don't know, an unknown person's home. I thought that was a really kind of profound thing. So it's just, like, one thing after the next you kind of find, and you're like, that I'm going to use. It's part of my process, so it was fascinating.
Well, I love having this discussion with you all, and, you know, there's a lot of questions that I still have, and we're running out of time. We're almost 1 o'clock, and you know, I want to thank each and every one of you for sharing your talent and being bold and courageous, you know, to put your work out there, whether it's singing, songwriting, poetry, visual art, and all that. It's, yeah, you have to have some, you know, courage, I think, for that, because, you know, it's just important to have that confidence as well. So I want to thank you all for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thanks.
Seriously.
Sarah and Colin Walsh, Kian Byrne, thank you so much. And Ruben Castillo. And, you know, you'll be back, right?
Oh, yeah. Come
yeah, you'll be back soon. Any last words, real quickly? Any last words about anything coming up real quick?
Support all of your local artists.
Thank you.
In every way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Go to gigs. Go to showing. Go to everything.
Yeah, and this is a good town to do it in.
Can we plug a specific event?
Yes, quickly.
There's something at Monarch February 13th to support homeless low-income girls with supporting their monthly situation that happens. Mm-hmm. There's a period party is having a fundraiser at Monarch.
Okay.
And then I'm currently a studio resident with the Charlotte Street Foundation. We have studios in the downtown area. And we'll be having our annual Open Studios event that I know they'll be plugging pretty I know Mason will come by and probably aggressively plug it sometime soon, but I don't have the exact date. It's either, so sorry if this is wrong.
That's okay.
It's late April on a Saturday, and it's like all day.
Terrific.
Yeah, I think it's like the 23rd or the 27th, but right. It's like late April.
Beautiful.
Please come.
We thank you so, so very much. And, yeah, stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger. He's my big buddy. I love my Jeff. And thanks to Ruben Castillo, Sarah, and Colin Walsh, Kian Byrne. Next week, February 6th, we're into February, we begin our pledge drive. Also joining us is Hugh Merrill and Abby Ludlow. Stay tuned for Jeff. We love you. And, you know, we're going to go out with a song by Kian that we just ran out of time, and I'm going to go ahead and play it. Thank you all so very much for tuning in today, and honey, I'm coming home.